Olympic City, Colorado Springs, Colorado. This is the USA Volleyball Show, and here are your hosts, Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson.
Hello, and welcome to the USA Volleyball Show, the official podcast of USA Volleyball. We're celebrating 3 years of podcasting here on the USA Volleyball Show, and I'm back. Mm-hmm. I'm back in action, Clarence.
What a day. What a day of remembrance for the podcast right here. Not one, not two, not three.
NBA playoffs are coming up, so that's it.
I know. Regular season.
That's over. Relevant. Yeah.
3 year anniversary, which is the topic of the show. And yeah, that's all I had. I thought I had something else, but that's it.
How do you feel? 3 years. How do you feel about that?
Asking me today, I'm really tired from Salt Lake City, but overall, that aside, I can't believe it's been 3 years. I mean, I remember like it was almost yesterday. We're just kind of sitting down and going over the brainstorming portion of it. It's just like, you know, all these ideas are coming into our heads on a whiteboard, meeting, marketing plans, and then just kind of got put together. And we keep learning how to get better every single episode, and just here we are 3 years later. Wow.
Yeah. I'm afraid to go back and listen to those first episodes.
Yes,
man. So. I think we've gotten a lot better, and we're in a good groove of things for sure.
Yeah.
And Curtis sent the, our first promo, a few days ago. He sent our first promo, cause that anniversary came up, but, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It still is a lot of fun, obviously, but a lot of fun in those early days, just kind of getting off the ground and figuring things out. And now, yeah, we're full in the swing of things. Flash forward 3 years later.
I mean, speaking of promo, I think we're well overdue for a new one.
We are.
And I think we're all going to be in Baltimore for GJNC 18s. So get your thinking caps on. We gotta figure that one out.
Stacked. Might need to figure out something, yeah, soon for sure, because we are well overdue.
Well,
for a promo, but
for a promo. I'm sorry.
speaking of events, though, and you mentioned just being a little bit exhausted from SLC. Give us a little recap of the weekend over there in Salt Lake.
First off, I have to shout out every single person who was involved in the setup, the working the actual at the event, working from behind the scenes and tear down, because we got a lot of good feedback for the event this year. And I think this is the biggest year that Salt Lake has had numbers wise, from weekends one with 13th through 15th, and weekends awesome. Two with 11th, 12th, 16th and 17th. You know, I know Sunshine is a massive qualifier. It's been establishing around, but for this being the third year of Salt Lake City Showdown, our numbers are continuing to get greater, and we're, you know, getting better. Every single day, every single year, this qualifier is in Salt Lake, and we're going to be in Salt Lake for years to come. So a lot of good feedback there. Have, were there long days? Absolutely. Were there short days? Absolutely not, because those are also all day at the convention to get there too. But just a really good team came together and put together some really good things, from tournament staff, ticketing, spectator admission, to social media, and everything in between. It was a really, really, really successful event, and just can't wait to get better and do it all over again next year. So really good turnout there.
Yeah. Speaking of social media, shout out to Severin, who's had a few guest appearances as the host on this podcast one now, but shout out to Severin for running social media there. Did a lot of great stuff. Some really fun videos. So definitely go check that out on the USA Volleyball social media channels.
Mm-hmm. And then, I think you have a couple of updates too. I mean, you've been back kind of hitting the ground running. Did you have to, assist, help out with a little bit of a certain team's media day? You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes, sir. Yeah. I got back Tuesday. That was my first official day back from parental leave. Hit the ground running, helping to plan for the media day, that was last weekend, at the time of this recording. And yeah, had a lot of fun with that. Media days are a grind. They are, it's a lot of work, a lot of prep. So shout out to the team, who did a lot of that in my absence too, preparing for that event, and getting things set up, particularly Curtis, who had a, heavy load on his shoulders, kind of getting contractors set up and everything for the media day. But a lot of great feedback from the athletes who had a great time and were very thankful for all of us being there and making them feel special. And I think we did a lot of fun things too in each station. So excited to see the content that's going to come out from those from the media day itself. But and then yeah, I was running around as a floater doing just a bunch of fun social media stuff. And have a few videos that are in the pipeline right now that I'm working on that will be getting out here in the next couple of weeks from that. So yeah, exciting. And it was with the U.S. women's sitting national team. I don't know if I mentioned that before, but with that team, and they're so much fun. A lot of great, we've had a few of them on the podcast before, but a lot of great personalities on that team, and great to catch up with them too. Mm-hmm. And hear what's going on in their lives. But that was my weekend at media day. It was a lot of fun. Great way to come back too. Just jumping right into things.
I was gonna say, hit the ground running. Just, you know, hey, welcome to busy season. Welcome back. Yep. And here we go. We're back at it. You know.
Yep. Still have like probably 1,000 emails to get through, but had a lot of fun this weekend with the women's sitting team. That was a lot of fun.
That's good to hear. That is great to hear.
Yeah. I feel like I was going to ask you something, but I forgot. Three years. We kind of talked about it at the front here, but what kind of highlighted, we talk about this every year when this anniversary comes up, but any new highlights come up for you, as we kind of reflect on 3 years here?
New highlights. It's hard to top ABCA, man. Just being able to interview in person.
I was going
to
mention that too.
Be around the, not only the NCAA community, but, you know, the other communities that help just make the convention special, and being able to be a part of the, you know, Final Four National Championship matches for a second year in a row, as a volleyball fanatic. It's really hard to top those, and in-person interviews are just amazing. We had amazing guests, this past year and even the year before too, just some really, really great people. You know, I actually ran into Courtney Thompson at,
awesome.
Yeah. In Salt Lake here. Sorry, my ear anxious, video listeners. Yeah. Watchers. And she actually gave, our club team, Team Velocity 17 Black, a little pep talk. This past weekend in Salt Lake City. So my team actually got a chance to compete in 17 American. Didn't quite break up to the gold bracket, but they fought their butts off and, you know, really, really competed all weekend. And so very proud of them there. But before that even started, Courtney Thompson really just kind of sat down with them and talked to them about mental preparation, mental toughness, and how to really overcome those struggle and pain points that, you know, usual volleyball players go through when, you know, you're doing good all of a sudden and then everything hits the fan and just everything in between. And that was probably the perfect person to just sit down and give a real conversation from a genuine perspective, from someone who's been in their shoes and who's always been the underdog and always been, you know, quote unquote, not tall enough or you're not quite there for the position, you know, proving the haters wrong and getting through it there. But she gave a really, really great speech too. So shout out to Courtney Thompson for that one. Tying that back to ABCA, tying that back to Salt Lake City here too. That's mine. What about yours?
That's awesome. That's so cool that you're able to do that. You should have had her fitted out with a club jacket and kept her on the sideline all weekend.
I know. Add her to the roster.
Yeah. I think that's what I was going to say too. Just ABCA and happy that we were able to make it out there for a second year in a row and doing so much on the ground there and, you know, including the in-person interviews, like you mentioned with Courtney and our other guests there. But hopeful that we can do more of that. Of course, return to ABCA this upcoming year, but more in-person stuff, I think it's just fun to like beat off that energy and be in the same room with our guests. Doing virtual, it's what we got to do, with guests all over the country, all over the world. But, it's always fun to be in the same room and we have a good time. So hopeful that we can do more of that in this third year. I'm I'm excited to do another year of podcasting with you, Clarence, and the rest of the team here. But yeah, I think ABCA is just a huge highlight for me, for sure.
Well, I mean, speaking it out, we got to keep the ball rolling here. We have a very exciting year ahead of us, and
yeah,
the year's already started. You know, we got Paris, we got a lot of junior national championship, we have adult championships. There's, you know, VNL and everything in between, and it's going to be an exciting year.
Speaking of Paris, in our first year of podcasting, it was right in Tokyo, like right in the the prep leading up to Tokyo. So kind of reminiscent of that and this year going into Paris. So excited to do some, you know, Paris focus episodes, both, you know, before and then on the ground as well, with our athletes. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree. But I mean, I think we could sit here and, you know, reminisce and talk about our 3 years and what we're looking forward to and what we're reminiscing on 3 years ago. Let's kind of get into our last episode. Stephen,
yeah,
take it away and chat about, for those who missed it, see what they missed out on.
Yes, sir. And shout out to you and the rest of the team, just bringing on so many great guests too in these last few episodes. That I've missed, but yeah, shout out to you guys. Before we get into today's show, if you missed our last episode, go back and check out Clarence and Curtis catch up with U.S. men's sitting national team member James Stuck ahead of their last chance qualifier for the Paris Paralympics. Unfortunately, we know now that the team did not qualify. However, they finished the tournament with an incredible 6-2 record, making it to the final and taking silver after falling to Ukraine in that final match. But even still, the episode is worth the listen to learn more about James, his background, the men's sitting program, and just, you know, more about sitting volleyball and the greater Paralympic movement too. Check out that episode now on all podcast platforms and watch the video episode on YouTube and the USA Volleyball website. Now, been waiting a long time to say this. It's time for News with Hughes.
All righty there. I'm just kidding. Volleyball Federation's inaugural season continues to roll, rock and roll at that. There are weekly matches streaming for free. See some of our national team athletes like Kendall White or friend of the pod, Morgan Hetz. Make sure you tune in so you don't miss any of that action. Love having even more volleyball here in the United States, and soon we'll be able to watch it all year long. As a reminder, the 2024 Boys Junior National Championship registration, Open National Championship, and Beach Junior National Championship registrations are all open right now. So register for your chance to become the next national champion. Registration is also open for two Beach National Team trials. Make sure you visit our website to sign up for your chance to represent the United States at either the Beach U19 World Championship or the Beach World University Championship. Tickets are available for the USA Volleyball Hall of Fame, May 22nd in Columbus, Ohio. Join USA Volleyball as we celebrate all-time guests such as Kathy DeBoer, Carl McGowan, Dane Blanton, Robin Amoe, and other friend of the pod, Reed Pretty. Tickets are available on our website, and I think we're going pretty fast, so make sure you secure yours while supplies last. A big congratulations to friend of the pod, Trevor Crabb, and partner Theo Brunner on winning gold at the FIVB Beach Pro Tour Guadalajara Challenge. This helps them, this win helps them strengthen their grip on an Olympic berth in Paris. Another congratulations to Mariah Whalen and Elena Chacon for winning silver at the FIVB Beach Pro Tour Nuvali Futures after a close 3-set loss in the championship match. U.S. Beach Pairs earned 4 medals at the Norseca Playa de Gibia. On the women's side, Kylie DeBerg and friend of the pod guest Haley Harwood won gold. Savvy Simo and Abby Van Winkle claimed bronze. Over on the men's side of things, Edmund Corey and Wyatt Harrison took silver. Tim Brewster and Kyle Friend also claimed bronze. Follow along the action on USA Volleyball social media platforms. And for more on the latest news, visit usavolleyball.org. Enough of me talking. Steven, let me know what's up our sleeves for today's guest.
I don't know. Was your brain going Kyle Friend of the Pod?
Yes. I said a lot of Friend of the Pod. So
yeah. Yep. Yeah. We'll have to have Tim and Kyle on the podcast later down the road here, maybe this year. But that's funny. Now on to today's show. There's a jungle cat loose in the studio. We sit down with U.S. men's national team middle blocker Jeff Gendrick. We learn about his background, the excitement for this summer with the USA men's team, and what it would mean for him to make it on the Olympic roster. That and so much more on this episode coming up here. But enough from us. Here's Jeff.
Let's go for it. Let's crush
it. Let's do it.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I talk a little volleyball, a little shop, little stories about me. I'm ready to crush it.
All the above. Awesome. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down and chat with us. Like we said before, we've been talking about getting you on the podcast for a long time. And, you know, you have a busy schedule overseas. Things didn't work out, but I'm glad we have you here right now. This is going to be a fun conversation.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be on here to talk to you all and to talk a little bit about my story, how I started playing volleyball, talk about the highs, the lows, everything in between. And then obviously probably going to be talking about a little bit about the Olympics, how fired up I am about it, and ready to just also kind of grow the game. So I'm excited for this, and let's do it.
Yeah, we're going to hit everything. We're going to certainly talk about volley, but before we get into deep into that volley talk, let's get to know Jeff off the court. What's the typical life of Jeff Gendrick off the court? You know, you just finished practice. What are you doing right after?
So it's changed the last couple of years. So when I first started playing professionally, it was like, after practice, I want to go home, kind of relax. And then it was like, you know what? I didn't have a girlfriend at the time. Let's just go hang out with my friends, my boys, and let's just go play some video games for a couple hours. So it was more just like, let's go ahead and relax and recover. You know, maybe if I was overseas at that time, it would be if I'd just been to that city. It's like, let's go explore with my friends. Let's figure out the cool places to go out for eat. You know, really cool things about the city, learning the culture, all this stuff. But now I feel like my hobbies are just talking more volleyball, watching a lot of film, and honestly, just kind of creating a little content, with my Instagram, helping middle blockers to kind of just be more confident on the court.
I love that. We want to talk about, I think it's Middle Beast Academy. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. But before we do, video games, what's your go-to game there?
Wow. I'm a huge Call of Duty guy. I would love to play zombies with my friends if it's possible. When I'm overseas, the time change gets really difficult. You know, it's plus 9 hours. So it's like, maybe I can try to text my friends like, hey, before you go to work, can you... but yeah, I would say Call of Duty. Now on the national team, a lot of us like to play Smash Brothers, Super Smash Bros. So lastly, you know, when we're traveling, when we're going all over, we'll get 6-8 guys in a room and awesome. You're going to just hear us on that full floor just screaming. So we got a lot of really good Super Smash Bros. Players on Team USA.
Love that. Yeah, actually, I was going to ask you about that because I just went snowboarding with Nate Go, and he mentioned that because we started talking about video games, but he mentioned that a bunch of the guys will bring their consoles with them and play Smash in the room while you're traveling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a nice little way to relax, not think about the volleyball aspect of it, but it's also cool when you got 8 guys in a room and we're all pretty competitive, you know, on and off the court. So it's just another way for us to kind of enjoy without really exerting a lot of energy with our body.
I mean, quick follow up to that. One, who's your favorite character to use? And then two, do you want to kind of circle into talking a little bit about Middle Beast Academy and how that got started too?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing is I love playing Rob. He's this robot guy. The reason why I like playing with him so much is it's really hard for him to die falling off the map because he has like a lot of, I don't even know how to call it. He can fly for really long. Aaron Russell, he's really good at just kicking people off the map. So I got to find a way to just stay on. So with Rob, it was perfect. He would hit me off. Somehow I would just survive with a ton of HP. And usually I don't beat him, but the times I do, I'm screaming so loud. It's just funny. But for me, it's like I need to kind of show him that I could beat him every once in a while.
So Aaron Russell is a top tier edge guarder, is what I'm hearing. Okay.
That is awesome because that is so true. He is really good at it. And then now, since, you know, we're playing all over the world, different time zones, whatever. He's just sending me, I'm sure, other Smash Bro players clips of us playing each other, of him beating us.
That's amazing.
I'm really excited for being back home with Team USA.
This is like getting my mind spinning. We need to do like some behind the scenes content, smash it in the hotel room.
I want to go while you're traveling.
Yeah. I mean, if you guys want, we can do it all online play and you guys can hop on. We can do a little tournament. We would love that.
Tournament / live podcast.
Actually, that'd be great. I may. I got a download on my Switch already. So let's go.
All right. Yeah. I'm in.
Sweet. Yeah. Well, yeah. Let's, I mean, we could fill the whole podcast talking about Smash video games, but let's get into Middle Beast Academy. Why did you start it? What are your goals with it? What are you doing with that? Just explain like what it is.
Yeah. So I'll try not to talk too much about it, but pretty much the Middle Beast Academy is it's a website. I like to kind of refer it as like a Netflix account, but for middle blockers. And, the reason why I created this was I just wanted to give middles like more clarity on how they can improve their game. And I wanted middles to just kind of take control of their learning. And the reason why I think this is just so important, because like when I was younger, when I was 16, you know, I was this tall, goofy guy, you know, never played volleyball before, trying to figure it out. And what ends up usually happening is they kind of just throw you in a position. And it's usually, if you never played in a while or never played, it's the middle position. So I was this tall, lengthy, goofy kid. And I was thrown in the middle and I didn't really know how to improve. I was just there. And what I kind of like to think of it is like this type of Middle Beast Academy is just a way for middles to watch a video, learn a concept, and kind of, you know, figure out, okay, what it is. So for an example, it would be this course is going to be all about spacing. Why is spacing important as a middle, right? For us, really good spacing is jumping further off the net, which gives us, you know, better vision. It allows us to hit with more range. It allows us to be more confident when we're attacking, because when I was younger, right, when I was 16, I was getting blocked, you know, I was hitting out. I didn't know how to hit around a blocker. And I was like, man, this kind of stinks, right? Like, what could I do to fix this? I don't know. Okay. Eventually, maybe a coach would come by or whatever and say, oh, you're getting too tight, you know? But throughout that entire practice, I didn't really have intention of what I wanted to work on. And okay, maybe that one practice, I got one or two good tips. Okay. I'll remember that, right? But, you know, when you're younger, you don't always get those tips. You don't always remember it. So this Middle Beast Academy is just a bunch of these concepts that I've learned from playing volleyball for so long, right? I'm 28 years old, you know, been on Team USA for what, 7 years now, you know, playing professionally for 6. I'm breaking down all these concepts from what I do, what the best coaches have told me, what the best middles in the world are doing. So now as a 16-year-old middle, or you know, if you're 14, 13, or even if you're 25, you can watch these videos. And then what I like to do, what I encourage these middles is now after watching one of these clips or one of these courses, they kind of have intention of what they want to do that week in practice. So it's like, all right, my spacing is really tight. Let's work on that. Here are some drills in the academy. This is what I need to do. And then that week of practice, you know, they can go on and do it and they don't really have to worry about someone coming to help them out. They're like, this is what I need to work on. So it's just another way for middles to be just kind of having intention and to kind of always be curious about the game, always want to improve. And I think it's really cool because another way for me, it's like, I want to give back. You know, I was this young middle blocker who wasn't confident on the court. You know, I had a lot of questions. I wanted to feel like I can contribute more. I didn't know how. And in these kind of videos, I'm breaking it down so they can find ways to contribute, you know, especially as a middle. I'm pretty selfish now. Like, I want to get as many sets as possible. When I was younger, I didn't know how, you know, but now how I like to kind of explain is like, well, we got to communicate more, right? We got to talk to our setter more. We got to be able to get the ball off the net. All these things I learned from playing volleyball for so long, I can teach these middles at whatever age, and now they can start to incorporate it. So it's really cool. I'm really passionate about it now. And, you know, I think every middle should check it out if they want, middlebeastacademy.com. If you're not sure about it, you know, I have a free live webinar once a month that you can go and just watch me talk and break it down on what you can learn in the academy. Do you guys have any questions about it? I think it's a really cool idea, but maybe I'm biased.
That was cool.
Yeah,
I love the energy and passion you have for it. You can see it right away when you're just talking about it, explaining it.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Do you ever do any seminars or sessions at you know, the Final Four ABCA conference every year?
Most of it's going to be like all online for me because I'm just playing volleyball overseas. I don't have time to be there. But now I'll be starting to break down like the Final Four, or what I've been doing recently was just interviewing all Americans. I've been asking them questions like, what makes you so good? What are you seeing across the net in this situation? Or what do you take pride in? You know, and it's really cool to hear their stories because I'm like, oh yeah, that really relates to me. And now, you know, once again, a younger middle can be like, oh wow, I have to work really hard in transition if I want to get set as a middle, you know? So it's really cool to kind of just talk about the middle position, but also hopefully when this grows, it's just another way to kind of grow the game, get middles to feel confident on the court, and for them to enjoy being a middle, because sometimes middles, it's not always fun to play in the middle position when you don't get the ball. Sometimes you don't block the ball. So,
I mean, I love it. That sounds amazing. The coach and middle of me is just, you know, loves what I'm hearing here. And, you know, I really like Steven mentioned too, you're very passionate about it. So I think I'm going to join one of your webinars and, you know, please, give you a listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Check it out. Like I said, I do once a month. It's completely free. And if you like it, hop on the Middle Beast Academy.
So, moving forward too, I mean, I think it's a good little segue transition into talking about how you were introduced to the game of volleyball and, you know, just listen to your story and get that.
Yeah. So once again, I started playing when I was 16. But before then, I was playing basketball growing up, and I had two older sisters and they were really good at volleyball. Later on, they became All-Americans at their colleges, but growing up playing basketball, you know, it was a physical sport. And then eventually I kind of found out, and I had a lot of conversations with my dad. And when I was playing basketball, I was just scoring a couple points per game, like 2, 4, 6 points, was not a stud, right? So my dad was like, you should try volleyball. Like, your sisters are crushing it. And, you know, you're athletic and you can, let's try it, see if you like it. So I remember the first club, the first camp I went to, it was about 400 girls, I think, and about, I think, 12 guys. So first time I got to the gym, I'm putting on my knee pads for the first time. And, you know, coming from basketball, physical sport, going into this volleyball, I felt so uncomfortable, right? I have all these girls around me. I'm scared. I'm nervous. I think it was like a 3-day camp. And after the first day, I quit. I was like, I can't do this. And my dad said, why? He's like, I want to do it all boys. You know, like I'm too nervous. It feels weird. I'll feel more comfortable if it's all boys. So I think the next one we plan all boys. And one of the coaches kind of went up to my dad, and he likes to really exaggerate this story, but, you know, he goes up to my dad and says, how long has your son been playing volleyball for? And my dad's like, about 1 or 2 hours. And the coach was like, wow, this is incredible. And the reason why I think I had a lot of success early on was, one, when I was little, right, when I was playing basketball, I had to go to all my sister's volleyball tournaments every weekend. I couldn't go to my basketball tournaments. I had to go and watch them for, what, 8 hours a day, you know? So I was watching a lot of volleyball without playing. I think that really helped me, because when I was on the court, I was already start to seeing things as a middle blocker that are hard to do, right? I was starting to read how to read the game. So eventually, that's a little bit about my story when I was younger. Eventually kind of made my way up to just, you know, playing at Sports Performance, where we had pretty good coaches, feeling pretty confident. Eventually kind of made my way up to the college level, where I went to Loyola University. And yeah, my first year we were national champions. I was MVP of that tournament. And then eventually after that, kind of getting the call from USA to come train with us. That was in 2017. And then after that is kind of just balling with Team USA, enjoying it, having teammates that are over 10 years older than me. But now to absolutely loving it, playing overseas, like I mentioned, for 6 years, Team USA for 7 now, really enjoying it, but now also kind of enjoying coaching and helping other middles.
When did you start to realize, you know, hey, I'm kind of addicted to this game. I realized that kind of that, you know, switch that turned on to, you know, either, you know, cause that addiction or, just figure out that you can make a career out of this.
That's a good question. I think when I was probably 17, 18, I started realizing I was pretty good. And I was starting to get addicted to it. Like, hey, I'm so pumped to go to practice. But I didn't really know I could make it a living until I think after freshman year of college, after I had that really good year being Natty Champs, where I was like, oh, wow, this is fun. I love it. And I'm really good at it. I want to keep doing it. And I want to be better. How can I even improve my game? And that's when I kind of got to the Team USA, where I was like, you know, I was kind of a stud in the college level, but man, nothing compared to what Team USA was. So I was like, wow, I have to improve even more if I want to be able to play with these guys.
Have you like surpassed your sister's level at all? Are they still kind of schooling you on the court? What's that?
No,
that,
not at all. So one of my sisters still loves to play beach. But kind of bringing it back when I was younger, right? It was my two older sisters. They were getting all the accolades. Like I said, I was watching them and I was like, no, I want to make a name for myself. And I always remember my sisters, like some of their friends were like, oh, you have a brother? I didn't even know. And I always, that always was like a switch in my head. I'm like, I don't like that. Like, I want to be like, oh, you're Jeff's sisters, you know? So I honestly use a little bit of that for motivation. No, it's been really cool. They still kind of play a little bit of beach volleyball, but now being on Team USA, I would say I have surpassed them. But if they would play me in beach, they would still kick my butt. I'm still that, you know, 6'8", 6'9", goofy middle. So they got still more ball control than I do.
Well, it's funny you say that. We are now ready to bring your sisters on the call. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
All right. Come on.
No, that's awesome. I loved hearing, you know, your introduction, which I think is similar to a lot of people, especially on the men's boys side, is, you know, you're the annoying little brother going to tagging along to all the games and tournaments and running around the gym and having to be there, but ended up falling in love with the sport yourself and like you said, making a career out of it too.
Yeah.
You touched on, oh, sorry.
I was about to switch topics. So if you're staying on, good.
I was going to ask about your introduction to the junior national team.
Yep.
And you know what that experience is like.
Once again, that was, you know, when I was at the college level, that experience was awesome because I also got to meet a lot of great players from college, but now we were all on the same team competing against not just teams in the US, but all over the world. And that aspect was really cool because it is kind of like playing professionally when you're overseas. You're playing against all these different type of players, all these different types of cultures. And also what was really cool is you get to know these guys. And I thought that was really cool because I'm like, oh no, I'm not in just this small bubble of being in Chicago. There's so much more in the world than just, you know, being in the Windy City. So it was really cool playing these tournaments. You know, that's when we started to travel. I think one of the tournaments we did was we were in El Salvador, and it was just a really cool experience. Like, oh wow, once again, I get to play volleyball that I love, but now I get to travel and do it and play against the best teams for those age groups. And that was also really cool. And once again, it was just another thing that I wanted to be better, right? Like there was some other middles that were better than me and I wanted to beat them out. So once another way for me to kind of wanting to keep improving as a middle.
Do you remember like your reaction the first time you saw the USA jersey, you know, with your name on it, what that felt like, you know, like you said earlier, like getting an accolade to your name now?
Yeah. So the first USA jersey for junior national team, I don't remember, but one thing that I do remember when I went to Team USA in 2017 was, you know, before the game, we all grabbed their jerseys, but every player had to say something when they put on the jersey. And at first I was like, whoa, this is really cool to hear everyone's story. And I still remember what I said. As soon as I put on this jersey, USA jersey, I was like, wow, I worked so hard to get to this level. But also it kind of opened my eyes and like, wow, I still have so much more that I need to grow to play with all of these guys, right? Like playing next to David Smith, a three-time Olympian, you know, Max Holt, all these great middle blockers. So when I put on that jersey, it was like, wow, there's so much more that I can still do. And I think that's really cool for any player at any level. There's so much growth. You can always kind of keep improving no matter how good you are.
That's cool. We've asked that question, you know, to so many people and I've never heard that before. So love that. Thank you for sharing that. It's really cool that, you know, just went around the room and you said something, you know, what that jersey meant to you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember what everyone said, but I think I was so nervous because once again, first time me playing with all these guys, really. And once again, they're 10 years older than me. So I'm like panicking in my head. I'm like, oh, what do I say?
But stutter, don't mess it up.
Exactly. Don't mess it up. So, but it was really cool to hear everyone's kind of story. And like I said, a lot of hard work came into it, but also there's still so much that I could do to become better.
Yeah. Just staying on that really quick, because you mentioned just the age difference and stuff a lot, which I'm sure David Smith really appreciates too. But what were those like early conversations? You know, you guys are great friends now. It's probably easy to talk to everybody, but what were those early conversations with, you know, David Smith? I don't know if you're around with like David Lee too, or even Max Holt. Yeah. What were those early conversations like with them?
So I was usually roommates with David Smith. The reason why was I snore really loud. So some people didn't want to sleep next to me. So David Smith was a perfect guy because he could just take out his hearing aids and he can't hear me.
That's so funny.
I love David Smith. We talked a lot about volleyball, but also just life in general, because I mean, at the time he has kids, you know, so I'm this 21 year old guy from college, you know, college experience is cool. And then coming from David Smith who has kids, right? So it was very different type of stories that I would tell from what he would tell. But it was really cool because he was really professional on the game of volleyball. And I think that also helped me to be like, yeah, I can do fun things, but I also have to be professional in this sport if I want to keep
playing. May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? There.
I hope he, there's no,
I hope Clarence is okay. We might have to check in on him with a little bit, but, I guess continue there. We'll probably splice it together, but
for sure.
Go ahead.
So being with David Smith, it was awesome because the stories that he was telling me were completely different from mine when I was in college. But he also just kind of told me how to be very professional playing the sport. And, you know, I feel like a lot of players, if you're not taking care of your body, you can't play for long, you know. And now David Smith, who's 38, he's still playing at such a high level, which is honestly incredible. I'm jealous, but it's really cool. So I loved having David Smith as a roommate, but all the other guys were amazing. I remember starting to play, with Team USA. They were helping me a lot on the court. They knew I was a younger player. So they would kind of help me out a little bit more that, you know, Micah was always giving me some insights. We had the middles kind of teaching me what to look out for. But soon after that, I was in the middle, just kind of crushing it.
That's awesome. Clarence, you all right?
Yeah, there was a totally like not random, but sporadic like announcement at the hotel. Never heard that before. So
that's so interesting.
I don't know if it was a false alarm or whatever it is, but I thought I was going to have to split, but we're good now. So the year follows.
Let's move on to, you kind of mentioned it before briefly when you're talking about your background, but just your experience at Loyola Chicago. Could you talk a little bit about, why did you decide to go there? And what brought you to that university?
Yeah. Loyola University was an awesome school. The reason why I chose it was one, it was kind of close to home. But also, I mean, the year before they just won the national championship. The coaching staff was really good, but also I just loved the guys over there. I felt like it was a good group of guys and I felt like I was comfortable with them. So the reason why I liked that school was it was close, really good staff, really good players. And I really just liked this school. What was really cool about it was I was a finance major, and Loyola University, it's like there's a couple different campuses. One is like near downtown, and then like the business school is downtown. So, you know, when I was going to my business classes, I would have to take the train, I would have to take the bus, 20 minutes, and I was there. And the reason why I kind of liked that was it wasn't just like a college school, right? You weren't just in that bubble. You could go to that business school or, downtown Chicago, and you can see a whole different type of group of people, right? And they're doing business stuff, and you're like, wow, everyone's in suits, everyone's dressed up nice. And it was kind of cool because I was like, all right, I could see myself, doing some business downtown Chicago, but also like I'm a student athlete, right? So I love to hang out with my friends, playing volleyball, doing stuff like that. So I really loved the experience there. Whenever people ask me about the school, I think it's awesome. If you're looking forward to that school, you should for sure go. But yeah, my family also loved it because my dad is a huge, he's just a huge volleyball fan. He's like the loudest dad in the gym. Everyone knows who Mr. Jendrick is. He'll probably hear him yelling, like, load the gun, or he'll say, just, yeah, buddy, really loud. He'll say a bunch of weird things, but everyone knew that he was in the gym. So he could always drive 45 minutes and watch all my home games. So that's also one reason why I really liked it.
Cool.
I was just close to being home.
What's one of, like, you know, aside from, you know, the national championship, but what's one of your just, you know, favorite, most memorable experiences, you know, at your school?
Besides the national championships, I would probably just say being around my teammates, meeting a bunch of friends over there, and then kind of just experiencing Chicago. You know, like, there's so much stuff to do over there, you know, and like, you can go to Wrigleyville, you can go to the batting cages, you know, you can go to the baseball game. So just kind of exploring Chicago, I would say, was really memorable, and meeting a lot of friends that I still talk to.
Yeah, a couple times I've been to Chicago, I've loved it. Being around the river too, was cool. A lot of like good restaurants around there. So, and that's cool that what you talked about, just that it's, school's not all in one place. You got buildings kind of spread out and you can kind of get off campus a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. And it was just a good overall, like, great experience. If I had to go somewhere else, I wouldn't. I would want to go back to Loyola University. Now, when you get older, you're like, oh, do you remember those experiences? Do you remember those times, you know, when you talk to all your college buddies? Would love to revisit those times, but also you could only be there for so long and get them down. So, but it's really cool because I still talk to all my college volleyball teammates every year. A lot of us, we all go to California. We get an Airbnb.
That's cool.
Kind of just hang out and talk about all the fun stories we had back in the day. So it's really cool. We do this every year.
And you said, if I could go anywhere else, or if I could have gone anywhere else, I thought it was about to be another, like, a college announcement. You're about to throw on another hat or something.
UCLA hat or something.
That's awesome. Oh, what? I guess maybe you might like talk about this in Middle Beast Academy a little bit, but do you have any advice for anyone who's like looking to play at that collegiate level?
Yeah. I mean, my advice is to really just watching a lot of your own footage and learn a lot from your mistakes, is probably a big part of it, but to just go every day and just work hard in the gym. Now knowing from being on Team USA, like, I wasn't a starter, for most of the years that I'd been on Team USA. So I had to put in a lot of the work off the court, you know, when Micah Christensen, when they're all playing, you know, I don't know, 7 to 10 games in like 10 days, they're pretty exhausted, but I got to find a way to get those extra reps in, you know, whether it's with Micah, with another setter. But that kind of has helped me. So whenever I had an opportunity to play, I was just ready, which I thought was really cool. But yeah, I think for any athlete, you know, talking to your coaches, saying that you want to play in college, and then just working really hard, I think is the best way to put it, to be honest.
Great advice. Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, no problem.
I think that's a good little, again, another good transition to talk about how you were actually introduced to, you know, the men's national team. I know we got some fun things to talk about there. Maybe a nickname coming up, you know, anything like that.
Yeah. If you guys want to talk about the nickname, we can. So I first started playing volleyball, like, on the national team in 2017. I think the nickname came that year or the next year. But Micah Christensen gave me this name, the Jungle Cat. And the story behind it was, when I was on the national team, we played Team Iran, and their middle blocker across the net, at the time, he was one of the best middles in the world. He wasn't that physical, but he was really good blocking. And he would run these different type of routes where he's like jumping one way and he's contacting this ball like 4 feet to the left, or 4 feet to the right. And in this game, you know, I don't know how well he was doing in the Olympics, but he was one of the best middles in the world. And anyway, me, my first year, right, beyond Team USA, I was touching him up really well. And my hands were like kind of like up in front of me. And I was like kind of moving along the net like this. And I was just like going like this. So we were watching film, and Micah Christensen was like, oh my gosh, Jeff's touching everything. He's like, he's like a jungle cat. And from then on, like, it just kind of stuck. And then everyone just kind of started calling me Jungle Cat. But it's been really fun. The reason why I kind of like the nickname is just because I'm kind of just jumping all over the place. I'm flying around. So I still think it kind of sticks to me to this day. And what's super random is, like, random things will happen where, like, even I was running a volleyball clinic this past weekend, and the Airbnb I stayed at had like a huge lion or like a jungle cat in my room. And I'm like, what are the odds? You know? So a lot of random stuff happens like this, but I'm really happy it stuck. And still to this day, Mikey calls me Jungle Cat or JC.
Well, now we have to get to the bottom of this, because a lion, I mean, is the king of the jungle, but doesn't live in the jungle, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And then do you align more with a tiger? Do you align more with like a panther? Are you a lion?
I think it's like, for me, I would say more of like a panther, you know, like I'm okay. Quick. But what's really funny is we actually like Googled what a jungle cat is. And like, I thought a jungle cat is like this fierce lion.
Some research.
Panther thing. A jungle cat, like when I Googled it, it's like a house cat. It's like,
it's so adorable. I'm about to Google it right now.
That's like kind of lazy.
No, I have to Google this now.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So when I'm thinking of a jungle cat, I'm thinking of like a lion, a panther,
okay,
a tiger kind of vibe. But if you do Google that, you're going to get a 10 to 15 pound house cat.
Pretty solid.
I love that. It's fast and agile, though. It's quick.
Yeah, I hope the house cat is, but I don't know. It seemed pretty lazy with the first photo that came up.
There's a book or a movie too, Jungle Cat. Anyways, yeah, it looks like that was out in 1960. Wow. Now let's learn things, yes, here and there.
The reboot's coming with Jeff.
I mean, just talking about being a jungle cat, all that good stuff, national team. Do you have any individual goals going into the season?
Yeah, I mean, right now I finished my season really early from overseas. So I'm back in California already. A lot of my teammates don't get back until late April, even mid-May. But the kind of nice thing about that is I'm here. I can start training. I can lift really heavy until they come back. But my goal right now is for sure just play my best volleyball. That's probably the first thing that I'm focusing on. And then the next goal would be to make the Olympic team. And then the next goal after that is to win a gold medal. I think that's going to be, honestly, my main goal is to get a gold medal. But there's a lot of small things that need to lead up to it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm so excited about this opportunity. In 2021, I was an Olympic alternate. So, you know, I've been training for those 4 years, didn't make the team. And then now in total, right, training for about 8 years. So there's a lot riding on this. I have a ton of motivation. I want to make this team, but also I want Team USA. I want us to play our best volleyball. And it's time for us to get a gold medal.
Mm-hmm. You know, total side note, but one thing I really appreciate in the majority of your answers here, when you're talking about how you were introduced to the game of volleyball, the, you know, junior national team, national team, Middle Beast Academy, you always talk about how excited you are to just, you know, learn more, improve, or get better, as if you're not playing at, you know, a ridiculously high level as it is. So I think that's very, very respectable. I mean, it's a good inspiration. I'm a coach on my end too. So, okay. You know, I mean, pointing people your direction, pointing people to this podcast and really show them what an optimistic mind looks like and, you know, healthy hunger. Yeah.
Yeah. And what's interesting was I was interviewing Haley Washington, and she was the best middle blocker at the Olympics, right? And they got a gold medal. And I was like, so what are you still working on, right? And she's like, she made this story. She's like, even I made the highest thing I can do. She's like, there's still so much that I still need to work on, right? So I think for any age, whatever level you are, even if you're the best middle, there's still so much that you can improve on, no matter if you're a middle, whatever position you are. but just always be willing to grow, whether it's volleyball related or, you know, outside of volleyball, just always be willing, be acceptable, and just enjoy kind of the process. One thing that I'm learning right now is kind of enjoying the process of the Middle Beast Academy of coaching, because for me, at first, that's completely different and outside my comfort zone, but I'm kind of just soaking it all in and just really enjoying it.
You mentioned it's time for this team to get a gold medal. I think that's such a cool soundbite. And we had Kavika Soji on, like, I don't know, a few, not a few, many episodes back, but he mentioned, you know, how stoked he is for this squad and how deep the squad is, and just so much experience coming back and some youth coming in too. But I guess from you personally, from your perspective, why should people be excited to watch this team? We got BNLs coming up this summer, leading up to the Olympics. Why should people want to watch and tune in to you guys?
That's a great question. I think we have a lot to prove. You know, what happened at the last Olympics, for sure, we weren't happy with that result. So we have a lot of motion, a lot of motivation to, you know, being at this Olympics and to be crushing it. And I think, like you mentioned, we have a lot of experience on this team. You know, I don't even know if anyone left. Maybe one or two players have left from the last one, but we got a lot of great players that are just hungry for getting this gold. And I think that's what's going to be really cool when, you know, people can start to, what you guys are doing, right? Really telling the stories of these athletes. So now people can kind of follow along and be like, wow, you know, for me, example, I worked really hard for this one moment, right? So I think it's really cool. And also just in general, just talking about like the girls game, it's so excited. Like the pro leagues in the US.
Yeah.
Volleyball is growing at such a fast pace now. So I'm sure we're going to get a ton of viewership at the Olympics, and it's going to be an awesome process. I'm looking forward to it, but it's going to be a great experience no matter what.
What would it mean to you to get that call from John Sparrow that you made the team, that you made the roster?
Wow. Getting goosebumps just because you said that, but it'll mean a lot for sure. It'll mean a lot. Like I said, I would probably just go up if I was in person, go up and hug them. But just knowing that all my hard work has really paid off. And I know it has, but just having that confirmed is like, wow, I've worked hard so many years of my life, you know, many hours a day for that moment. And then once again, once that happened, it's like, it's go time. Let's go get that gold medal. It's time for the boys to win one.
I can't wait to watch.
The Jungle Cats going to Paris.
Yeah. Jungle Cats
going to Paris. Can see the shirts, the merch coming out now. Oh. Yeah,
let's get that going.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I think we can, I guess, well, you mentioned, you talked to Haley and she talked about there's, you know, a whole nother level that she wants to reach. What exactly are you working on in your own personal game right now to help you secure that spot on the Olympic roster?
That's a great question. So one thing that I need to just keep improving on if I want to make that Olympic roster is, one, a little bit of my serve, but also, you know, at the high level, these middle blockers are really good, finding a way to shut them down. So what I'm going to be focusing on is I got to just keep working on my commit moves, finding a way to block these middles. So block them so well where they don't want to set them anymore, you know? So that's kind of my two things that I need to work on. But in general, you know, the cool thing about me is I'm a really offensive middle. And I think in my stats, I think with Team USA, I think I have the highest statistics for just killing ball, perfect pass, and even off the net. And I think that's what's really helpful for us with Team USA is other teams are really worried about me, even when I'm off the net. And that's going to help our entire team's offense. You know, when it's off the net, you can set the pins, right? And maybe it's a one-on-one situation. So that's one thing that I need to work on is just my serving, my blocking. And once again, I take a lot of pride in my attacking. And that's kind of why, once again, bringing back the Middle Beast Academy, that's why I called it the Middle Beast Academy. Because it's time for middles to take over, to be honest. You know, like,
agreed.
Middles were usually just kind of left in there, figure it out, not scoring points. It's time for middles to just start getting the MVPs of games.
I think we may have just found the title of the episode. Time for middles to take over.
Like that's that. Awesome. Get that going too.
That's awesome.
You know, either that or Jungle Cat. We'll see. But I wanted to quickly ask a follow-up to that. I know you mentioned some of the areas that you know, you're working to improve on. What's been the most challenging, you know, technique to continuously improve on as you've, you know, elevated your game on various levels?
Wow. I could say both. Like, the commit moves have been difficult. Now these middles are running these type of pop and float routes when they're, you know, they're jumping. They're not just jumping straight up. They're jumping to the left now, or they're jumping to the right. And now as a middle, if you're going to commit, you got to find a way to stop them, because if you commit and they get the kill, well, now you don't know as a middle blocker, should you commit again to stop them, or do you have to read? And maybe that setter is going to set the pins. So I think in my own game, what's been frustrating, but also once again, need to work on it, is my commit moves. It comes down to just timing, a little bit of deception, you know, a little show and take method. But once again, if you're going to commit, like, find a way to stop that middle and to make sure they don't set them ever again. Best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's amazing middles out there right now. You know, Luzer from Argentina. I love to talk about him just because he's undersized. He doesn't jump high, but there's clips where he's hitting against 7-foot middle blockers and he's crushing them. Simone, just another amazing middle. I mean, we even got David Smith, 3-time Olympian, who he's 38, doesn't even need to jump high, but he can kill anywhere on the court, which is so cool. We got Max Holt, who's just like a physical beast. And then playing guys from overseas, you know, Flavio from Brazil, just unstoppable. A lot of great middles. So it's finding ways, you know, to learn on what are their tendencies and find a way to block them.
I love that. I can hear the volley nerds that are listening just like ecstatic, just diving into the details here. This is fun.
Mm-hmm.
I want to check in with you really quick. Are you good on time? We wanted to get to your overseas career too.
You're good.
Okay. Sweet. Let's segue into, you know, you playing overseas. What's your favorite part about playing in other countries?
I think my favorite part about playing overseas is just you're in a new city for the first time. You're in a new country and everything is so different. And at first, when I started playing overseas, I was so nervous, right? Because, you know, being close to home, everyone speaks English. Now I'm going to Germany, Berlin, Germany for my first time, right? They don't really speak English. So just kind of fearing, waving, you know, going through those type of different situations, you know, living on my own, different country, the time zone so different from back home with my family, my friends. But once again, when we're there, right, just really enjoying that moment, you know, meeting all these new people, new experiences. And then once again, you're getting paid to play and you just want to keep improving your game. So there's a lot of cool things about playing overseas. The one thing that I did not like was in Berlin, Germany, at least, the winters, they're long. There's not a lot of sun. So I was like, oh, man, this 9 months is a long season, but, you know, having really good teammates, you know, meeting new people, just, it makes it a lot really worthwhile to play overseas.
Mm. Can you talk about like your first time, your first year playing overseas, like, you know, how you got hooked up with your team, how, you know, that specific experience was, you know, what did we learn, all those, you know, all the above there?
Yeah. I mean, I was able to just kind of get an agent through kind of my other USA teammates. Most of my teammates kind of use this one agent. So I was kind of lucky enough to have him work with me. So I didn't really have to really think about who to choose. They were just like, you don't have to worry. He's a good agent. You're good. But when I was overseas, first thing that I would say I had to learn was just cooking meals and like kind of experience with their type of food. And then also just being okay with being uncomfortable. And I'm sure a lot of people will say that when you guys ask them this question is, you know, there's going to be times where you just can't speak the language and you got to figure it out, or weird things will happen. Maybe you get injured and they don't have like a good physio or stuff like that. You just have to learn how to figure it out. And I think that's really important just in life. Like, not everything's going to be so easy and simple. So there's going to be things, hard times in life where you kind of just have to figure it out. And at the end of the day, it makes you stronger. So the cool thing about living overseas is, I mean, anything I do, whether it's like the traveling, being away from home, it's easy now. And now I kind of make it enjoyable and make it fun.
That's awesome. What were some of those meals that you were cooking that you're learning how to cook?
At first, it was just like pasta and beef, but yeah. I was starting to cook some schnitzel and this spaghetti, this type of like potato pasta.
Mm.
But yeah, I think those were probably the two big ones. But other than that, just learning and enjoying it too. And it was funny because like I like when I cook, I can't just whip things up together. I need a recipe. Like I have to follow the recipe. And now like my girlfriend just makes fun of me. She's like, you know, you can just whip it together. You don't need like to measure everything. I'm like, I don't know. That's just why I'm like have to like make so just enjoying the cooking aspect. And once again, like when you're overseas, you're practicing lifting probably like 4 hours out of the day, you know? So you got a lot of time on your own to do whatever you want to do. So probably those first couple of years, the hobby was just learning how to cook. Another thing I wanted to mention was the frustration was going to a grocery store and you can't read anything. You don't know what aisle anything is. So, you know, going to the grocery store, I was spending like 30 minutes to an hour there and just like, well, forgot where to find this, you know? So whatever I'm back home, I'm super thankful that everything's labeled and I can read it.
Well, and you have your home store, so you know where everything is. You know what aisle to go to.
Exactly.
I'm spending an hour in the grocery store is my dream, though. I love it. I love the grocery store.
Really? Yeah.
I want to get in and I love the grocery store. My wife hates it, and she'll just like dread it all week. And I'm like, I'll just go. I'll go. I'll take my son with me, and we'll have a great time. I'll buy too much because I'll start.
Yeah.
Wanting to cook things, but yeah. Cool. Yeah. Did you find any like other fun hobbies that you just never thought of or never thought you'd like try or be interested in, but just kind of hooked you for some reason?
Other hobbies. Let's see. I honestly didn't do anything wild because when you're just playing, you're pretty exhausted. And you want to just go home and relax. I'm also, since I was a finance major, I got my master's in finance as well. I'm just a huge nerd when it comes to, you know, investing your money, saving money. I'd watch videos on that, learning how to do it. But also I am really passionate about just teaching people about why it's important to save. And like making sure you have an IRA, like a Roth, like a retirement account. And I think a lot of people might think that's really weird, but I love to talk about that. And now I also really like to kind of talk about Bitcoin and some of these small coins that are, it's kind of fun. Mostly it's a gamble, but I think Bitcoin's is here to stay. So I'm happy I'm invested a little bit in that and hopefully it can keep popping off.
That's any, cool. Interesting music genres, you know, being overseas and experiment there. And I know music can be different depending on where you are too. So,
yeah, I think honestly, I'll be honest, I'm pretty basic with my music, but it is cool when, you know, every day someone on my team from, you know, a different country is playing their music. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is awesome. You know, like every country has their different type of vibe. So I thought that was really cool to like listening in. But with my own music, I'm so basic. I'm usually listening to like house music or just listening to some Drake or some hype rap to pump me up for lifting. But yeah, I'm pretty basic in that realm.
What's been the easiest language for you to pick up while you've been overseas?
Wow.
Any of them?
Yeah. So Polish has been the most difficult. I didn't even try to learn because everyone just says like, you're just making noises. So I didn't even try to attempt that. I did a little bit of German. I know how to order a drink. That's pretty much about it. The cool thing about Berlin, Germany was it's such an international city. Everyone speaks English there.
Oh, cool. Okay. Cool.
And then this past year, I was just playing in a small city in Italy. And Italian was okay too. But I really like the Italian culture. Everyone's so nice. You know, if you need something, they're going to find a way to help you out. They'll probably sit down with you and talk for like an hour or two, even though you just like need directions, one location. they're really welcoming, which is really cool. One thing about my city in Toronto, Italy, is it's a pretty much a beach city. It's really windy at times. So a lot of these people, I live 2 minutes away where they would go. It's not parasailing, but it's like, it's windsurfing. Mm. So that's like one thing that I wanted to try, but I never got around to it. I didn't have a wetsuit and the water is cold. So I was like, I'm not going to try. But I mean, every like 2 minute walk, I get a coffee on the water. When it's windy, you'll see like 20, 30 people just windsurfing.
That sounds nice, actually. Just get a coffee, walk along the water.
Yeah.
In Italy. Yeah.
Yep. South of Italy is very warm compared to north where it's snowing. So I was really fortunate being in the south.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Only city I've been to is Napoli or Naples.
Yeah.
But I had a good time there.
Yeah.
Now that you have, you know, a few seasons, you know, playing professionally overseas under your belt, do you know or have that, you know, favorite part about, you know, the competition overseas that's kind of come?
Yeah, I think once again, when I'm playing over there, you're there to play as best as you can. But it's really cool because I'll just be playing more against the best middles in the world. So I really like that aspect. And then trying to learn from those plays when they kill the ball against me so I can kind of start to incorporate that. So when I play against them, hopefully in the Olympics, I'm ready for them, you know? But yeah, just enjoying being overseas life. You know, you're once again, you're usually on your own. So you got to figure it out. But at the end of the day, you have to be like open to it. You know, if you're hesitant about going, it's pretty tough. You just got to be like, hey, whatever happens, I'm going to enjoy it. And it's going to be a great year, you know?
Cool. Well, Jeff, this has been an incredible conversation. I think we've hit a lot of great topics and I'd love to have you back on the podcast to dive a little bit deeper into some of these down the road. But I guess before we let you go, is there anything that we left on the table that you'd like to chat about or anything you'd like to talk about first?
No, the last thing would just be you all can follow me on my Instagram at jjendrick21, I believe. If you're a middle blocker, check out my middlebeastacademy.com. I have that free live webinar once a month. Middles coaches are welcome. Other than that, if you are a middle, if you have questions, always DM me on my Instagram. I'm always there to help middles out. But that's honestly all. You guys have been awesome. You guys have been awesome, asking great questions. Happy I'm on here. Hopefully people listening to this can take some of this away and kind of incorporate it into their own life or into volleyball. And just once again, finding a way to grow the game, I think is awesome. So
until you're a pro and a content creator yourself, when we don't have to
prompt you to promote yourself and where people can follow you?
Yeah. I'm starting to learn that way. That's
probably, you got it. You nailed it.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
At first it was difficult, but the cool thing now is like you get to work your creative side, and you know, if I do something that helps someone, it's a win. It's a win mm-hmm. for both. So it's,
yeah.
I think that's what's really cool. Usually my Instagram now is just volleyball related. But it's really cool to just kind of create videos. And like I said, if it helps anyone, it's a win.
I love that. And yeah, like you mentioned before, when you were talking about it, just giving younger athletes access to that information and to you, and your wealth of knowledge and experience. I think that's incredible and awesome, and love what you're doing with Middle Beast Academy for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you guys.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's all I have. You guys have any other questions? I think we crushed it.
I think we're good. Yeah. We're definitely going to have you on later down the road for a part two for sure.
Part two of the Jungle Cat.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Maybe after we know if you're going to Paris, that'd be sweet.
Yeah. That'll be awesome.
Be cool. Or maybe closer to being out. But yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. And I'm sure we'll see you down the road here soon.
Yep. See you guys. Thank you for being on here. And I think what you guys are doing is awesome to keep promoting. I think it's only going to help grow the game, and you guys are crushing it. So keep doing it.
Spoken like a true content creator, you know, keep it up.
Appreciate
thank,
it
yeah, thank you so much. That means a lot. Thank you.
All right. See you guys.
See ya. What an awesome guest and conversation to have here on our third episode, 3-year anniversary.
Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod. Jeff Jindrak was awesome. Such a great conversation. You could just tell how excited he is to be back in the States and competing back in the red, white, and blue, and being in the USA gym to training ahead of the summer. I can echo what he's saying, just the excitement around the men's program. A lot of returning experience, you know, veterans coming, some veterans that weren't able to make it to Tokyo due to injury and everything coming back this year. But and most of the squad just returning to kind of rebound after Tokyo, and, wishing Jeff, best of luck as he competes for a spot on that Olympic roster. But whoever makes that end roster, that team's going to be in great shape. I'm very excited to watch them this summer and leading up to Paris.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with all of that. I mean, he's hungry. He's optimistic. He's positive, yet also competitive. And just again, I think I mentioned it during the interview itself, but I really, really just respect how much he anticipates and is actively trying to be better and get better in his respective sport, being one of the top middle blockers, already in this position today. So there's that. And he's also got a hunger to teach the game and refine the game and, give people that knowledge that he didn't have, but he was in their shoes. I mean, Middle Beast Academy at that. I mean, as a middle blocker myself, I was something that, hell, I wish I could have used when I was in high school. And, those earlier times in my playing career, to just help elevate and fine tune some of those things that I really wasn't thinking about at the time. That's why he's doing what he is doing now too. So, I mean, what a great guy, just a all around, just genuinely amazing person too. So I cannot wait to see what unravels for him with his personal goals, individual goals that are focused on the team, and those team goals that are leading into Paris, man. It's going to be a time.
Yeah. Like you said, really cool to hear, the passion that he has for giving back to the sport. And we've had many guests on this podcast talk about that, in just recent memory for me, Taylor Avril, who talked about, another middle blocker on the men's team, but talked about, his desire and passion to want to give back to the sport and, have that resource that wasn't available for him. As he was, coming up in the sport for Jeff, but wanted to be that resource for younger athletes, now. And I actually just saw a video or a photo of him on Instagram, just sitting down with two athletes in the gym, just, reviewing film or something. But, he's on that grind
to make the Olympic roster, but he's still making time to give back to the sport, which is super cool.
Amazing time to give back to sport, creating content, and just, I don't know, just being a great human being at that.
Just doing jungle cat things. Yeah.
I gotta, once I get back from Salt Lake City, I'm going to find that, I'm going to just record PK talking to me. We have a little soundbite.
need to get Curtis a little soundbite board that you guys press buttons on there. But yeah, thank you again to Jeff for taking the time to sit down with us. Awesome conversation. Look forward to, you know, many more conversations with him down the road, and hopefully I can get him back on the podcast, here in the near future. But, yeah. If you're interested in Middle Beast Academy, definitely check that out on his social media. He dropped those handles at the end of our conversation. But check that out and see if it's right for you.
Mm-hmm. Also, make sure to follow him on social media, like you said, Middle Beast Academy. But, you know, you can follow his journey on the Men's National Team's account, and also follow his journey personally on his social media. Like Steven mentioned, he dropped both of those in our interview too. So make sure you listen and rewind if you need to, and give him a follow. I've been waiting to say this for a very long time. So with that being said, let's see what's up the vine with Steven. Upcoming events. What you got for us?
Now for upcoming events, the 2024 Lone Star Girls National Qualifier Weekend 3 in Dallas. Shout out my hometown, April 19th through the 21st. The Northeast Girls National Qualifier Weekend 3 in Philadelphia, April 19th through the 21st. The Far Western Girls National Qualifier Weekend 2 in Reno, April 20th through the 22nd. And following that, Weekend 3 of the events in Reno as well, April 26th through the 28th. The 2024 Indoor NTDP Accelerator North Country in Minneapolis, April 26th. The Northeast Girls National Qualifier Weekend 4 in Philadelphia, April 26th through the 28th. And finally, the USA Volleyball Girls 18s Junior National Championship in Baltimore, April 26th through the 28th, which I just found out I'll be there. So I'll see you there, Clarence.
I don't know if you have a hotel room for you, so good luck. I'm just
kidding. I'll be crashing on your floor.
You're right.
Good luck to everyone competing in those events, all the clubs competing. More details on all upcoming events can be found at uscvolleyball.org. We're definitely in event season now.
Oh, yeah. We're also on pro event season as well. On the pro side of things, we have the Beach Pro Tour Elite 16 Tepic in Mexico, Tepic. April 17th through the 21st. After that, we have the Norseca Playoff number 3 in Manhattan Beach, California on April 23rd. Shout out to California, good old SoCal. After that, we have the Beach Pro Tour Challenge Shamoon in China, April 25th through the 28th. Love how all of these amazing places overlap, but we're going to be in Baltimore too. We got to start traveling internationally. Who do we have to talk to for that?
Maybe that's this year. No.
let's send an email after this. But good luck to all those athletes competing, and very, very, very safe travels to you all. Check out usavolleyball.org for men's and women's national team updates from their respective pro leagues. Remember, listeners can rate, review, share this podcast with friends, families, teammates, colleagues, associates, haters, motivators. Just anything, everything in between. It's our 3-year anniversary. Share it out.
Jungle catch.
It really helps this podcast grow and reach new listeners every other week that we post new episodes. And make sure you check out our video episodes on our website and YouTube. We thank you all for your continued support through these past 3 years and everything else beyond. If you know a club that should be featured or a story you like us to share on this podcast, you can email us at theusabshow@usab.org. Leave us feedback. Let us know how we're doing. And again, let us know about any future topics that you would like to hear about. New episodes drop every other week. And again, thank you all for being friends of the pod through our 3-year journey of this podcast. Until then, Thank you all for listening to another episode of the USA Volleyball Show. We are once again at the official podcast of USA Volleyball.
This has been the USA Volleyball Show with Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson. It's produced by Curtis Ward. Our content producer is Laura Fawcett. Our marketing lead is Bree Jaycox. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to rate and review. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the USA Volleyball Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.